Lord, we ask that as we open the Scripture together, we'd be blessed by the Scripture, taught by the Scripture, given light through the Scripture. Lord, we thank you for this word and its function and purpose amongst us, and we pray that it would indeed fulfill that, even as we open it today. So we commit our time to you, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we had been speaking about faith, hope and love. And last time I was here, we spoke about faith, but there's only a handful of us here. So perhaps we can consider that faith. These verses come from the very last verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we'll look at that chapter maybe next time. But what Paul says in this one sentence is that in the life of a Christian, faith, hope, and love should be found. They're always going to be part of the life of a Christian. Increasing faith, increasing hope, and increasing love. And of the three, the greatest is love. Because God is love, and love is therefore eternal. Well, let us think about faith. And this is just a little bit from last week. There are two reasons why faith is the way that we are called to live. Here's the first reason. I'm here, but I want to be accepted by God. I'm not accepted by God just because my parents love me or just because I'm a nice person. I'm a sinful person. How can I be sure that I'm accepted by God, even loved by him, and will be received by him when he comes? So one way is I can try to get there by what I do and by being a certain sort of person. Or the other way is I can try to get there by what Jesus did and by who he is. Well, the scripture says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how can I get there? How can I be accepted by him if I'm a sinner and I fall short? I fall short of that glory. I'm not going to get there. But the same scripture, in fact, the same verse says, but we are justified, we're made right with God by grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ that we lay hold of by trusting in him. So what is faith? Faith is saying, I can't do it, I've got to depend upon somebody else. Depending upon Jesus. So can I be saved by what I do? Never. It's not going to happen. But can I be saved by faith in Jesus? Yes. There's no other way. So what is faith in this understanding? Faith is putting your trust in somebody, relying upon somebody else. Just like you're sitting on a chair and you're relying on the chair to hold you up, we are relying upon the Lord Jesus. That's what faith is. It's relying upon what he's done in order that I might be accepted by God, forgiven and received. But there's another reason for faith. And in this verse, Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. And here he's making reference to the fact that we can't see the Lord now. People did see him and know him, but we can't see him now. And we can't usually hear him with our ears and touch him with our hands. And so what he's saying is sight is one of our natural senses. seeing, touching, hearing. We are called to live by faith because what that does is show us what's in our heart. Faith exposes the heart. And maybe it's difficult to explain why that is, but you find that soon enough, because you find that your faith is not hindered by a lack of knowledge, but faith is hindered instead by selfishness, by pride, by greed, by all these different sort of things, things of the heart. That's what hinders faith. So because faith draws out and exposes what's in the heart, it's the means by which we can be sanctified. And to be sanctified is to be prepared for glory. So it's a process. So it's the wisdom of God. It's the grace of God that we can rely upon Jesus. And it's the wisdom of God that our way now is by faith, not by sight. So that's a little bit about faith. But now we're talking about hope. And we've got a number of headings, and we'll deal with these fairly quickly. What is hope? An earthly hope and a heavenly hope. What's the value of hope? What's the evidence of hope? What's the relationship of faith and hope? And what is our earthly hope and what is our heavenly hope? So there's a lot of headings, but we'll get through this reasonably quickly. So the first thing is, what is this hope? Well, this is hope, isn't it? I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. This person is hoping. But what sort of hope is that? Well, he's simply saying, I don't want it to rain tomorrow. I'd prefer it didn't rain. But will it rain? I don't know. That's uncertain. So this is one type of hope where we just would like something, but we're not sure if it's going to happen or not. And we find that sort of hope, the word hope, used that way in the scripture sometimes. Here's an example. Paul writing to Timothy says, I hope to come to you soon, but if I'm delayed, so he's not sure, he hopes to, he wants to, but he's not sure whether he will. So that's one sort of hope. But the main hope that we're talking about when we say faith, hope and love is different. If you get up very early in the morning and you're saying, it's still dark, but the sun will rise soon. That's a hope that you have. It's a certain hope. You can get ready for the sunrise because it's going to rise. You know it will. You can confidently expect that this will happen. So there's a hope. The sun's going to rise, but it's a sure hope. And this is the way hope is understood mostly in the scripture. When Paul says faith, hope and love, he's talking about this hope, a certain thing that's going to happen, that's coming in the future. Well, so let's define the hope we're talking about. The hope we're talking about is a confident expectation of something that's still in the future. A confident expectation of something still in the future. So, we have our life in this world, and we have after this life, once we die, there is the age to come. So we can have hope that's earthly hope. This is what we can expect in this life. And another sort of hope is a heavenly hope, a hope that we look forward to after this life, beyond this life. easy? Let's see an example. The 23rd Psalm. Everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. He is my shepherd. And then David writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see hope there? Anybody? I can see hope there. I can see earthly hope, and I can see heavenly hope. The earthly hope is goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the heavenly hope is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be with him in his presence forever. So there's two sorts of hope. Well, let's look at another. Paul says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied. And why does he say that? He says that because we all know we're going to die, but what comes after that? And he was suffering for his faith in Christ. It was hard. He was, you know, when we read the life of Paul, we read about his how often he was beaten and shipwrecked and you know, went without things, and life was hard for him. And he says, do I only have hope in Christ now? No. If only now, if only an earthly hope, there has to be in Christ a heavenly hope as well. And he also speaks about that when he speaks about people who have died, about the Christians who have died. He wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant or unaware about those who have fallen asleep, those who have already died, that you should grieve as others who do not have hope. People who have nothing to look forward to beyond this life. Those people who say, well, you know, we're just a bag of atoms, and when we die, we die. We're just like a dog, you know, or an insect. We're just gone. He said, such people can grieve at death, but we don't. We're not like them because we have a heavenly hope, a different hope, a hope that goes beyond this life. So, again, reading from Romans 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? We are justified by faith. We're not justified by, I'm not made right with God because of what I am or what I've done, but because of my trust in Christ. So my peace with God is as sure as Christ risen. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand now, today. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we've got grace today and a hope of the glory of God when he comes, when we're with him, when we see him. There's an earthly hope, there's a heavenly hope. Well, what's the value of this hope? Does it make a difference? Is it something precious and worth having? Paul says in Romans 5, we rejoice in our suffering. What? That's a really strange thing to say. Do you rejoice in suffering? hand up all those who rejoice in suffering. You know, that's not the common thing, is it? Everybody wants to avoid anything that's trouble, anything that's painful, anything that's like suffering. He says we rejoice in suffering, and Paul even said our light affliction. He'd been beaten 5 times, he'd been stoned, he'd been shipwrecked. But he said, it's just light, it's nothing. Our light affliction. He counted it as very little. Because he said he had a hope. And he was looking forward to something that made this suffering in this life seem so small. So Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So there's a process here that this difficulties which he's going through is changing him. And the change that's being made is that he's seeing more and more clearly that which he is looking forward to, this hope. And he says that hope doesn't put us to shame. It's not hoping for something and then it never happens. He said, no, 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 it's not that. He says, because we know God's love. God's love has been spoken to us, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us of God's love for us. And that love makes us understand that our hope, what we're expecting and looking forward to, is absolutely certain. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, changes you. And character produces hope. What happens if you reject suffering? If you don't, if something is difficult, you immediately avoid it. If the Lord leads you into something and it's hard, you turn away. What happens then? Well, nothing happens. You don't learn to persevere. Your character's not built. And this hope won't be established in you. Okay. What else? Is hope valuable? In Hebrews it writes that hope is like an anchor. A sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It's a heavenly hope he's speaking about. It takes us into the very presence of God, and this anchor holds us in the storms of life. That's the picture that he's saying. If you have this hope, if you're able to look forward and anticipate the goodness of God in your life, this will be like an anchor that holds you. You're not going to be just blown this way and that, but you're going to be able to walk steadily as a child of God. What else? He says, again, writing to Thessalonians, Paul says, we belong to the day, so let us be sober, and having put on the breastplate, thinking of a Roman soldier, of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we belong to the day. That's the picture he's using there, not to the night. And this armor is protection in all of life's battles. What's the protection? Faith, hope, and love. That's what will keep us. If you try to live this life without faith, if you try to live this life without hope, if love is not known to you and worked in you, then life's going to be very hard. That's what he's saying. Faith and hope and love. Who's got hope? What's the evidence that somebody really does have hope, that they're looking forward to something in the future and expecting it? Beloved, John writes, we are children of God now, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, when Christ appears, we shall be changed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And then he says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself, gets ready, is careful how he lives, doesn't live casually, doesn't live carelessly, but lives a life that's focused, disciplined. Why? Because he knows what's coming and is expecting that the Lord will come, or he will go. Either way, it makes no difference. And that discipline, that living with seriously, that proves that, yes, I can see, you do believe that he's coming. That expectation is in you. And I can see it in your life. You know, when we talked about faith, we said the same thing. Faith is visible. Faith is in your heart. Why do you say it's visible? Because I can see how you live. Because if you believe in Jesus, you live in a certain way. If you don't believe in him, even whatever you say with your mouth, you can tell by somebody's life what they truly believe. Isn't that true? Same with hope. Faith and hope. We're touching a lot of scriptures, different scriptures. Faith and hope. Now, this is one of those wonderful sentences that Paul writes in to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Would you like to be filled with joy and peace? What a combination. How wonderful. Fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. What a sentence. He says, the God of hope. So that God wants us to see and to expect all that's coming. He's the foundation. He's the source of it all. And he wants to fill you with joy and peace as you believe, as you walk by faith. And the Holy Spirit in God's children will be working so that they will abound in hope. They will be people who are looking forward with a clear expectation. So, what's at the foundation? It's the love of God. This is where everything springs from. God loves us. And because of his love, he reveals himself and his purposes. He reveals his Son, his salvation, in his word, in the scripture that we have. And that scripture enables us to believe. We see, we know what we believe. We believe what God has spoken. We believe God through his word. And that faith leads us to the joy of having that sure hope. Do you have something to look forward to? Isn't it good to have something to look forward to? I knew a young lady who every time she got excited about something that was she was looking forward to, she used to skip, she used to jump up and down on the spot because you could tell she was excited. And, you know, we were with her once and her parents said, we're going to go out to some restaurant, you know, for dinner. And she just started skipping up and down on the spot with excitement because she wanted to go. It was great. Something to look forward to. And we all know that having something to look forward to is wonderful. You know, you're about to go on a holiday, something like that. It's great. And the Lord appreciates that, and he wants us to have deep in our hearts this which we are looking forward to. Whatever happens, this is going to happen. Whatever happens, Christ will come. Whatever happens, I will see him face to face. It's a glorious hope, an expectation of something certain. And the Holy Spirit is the one who works this faith in us and teaches us faith and strengthens our faith. And the Holy Spirit is the one who establishes that hope. So let's quickly think now. What is our hope? We've touched on it already, but let's be a bit more clear. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I'm trusting in God. I'm following him. He is my shepherd. And then he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is that how you feel? When you look ahead to your life, the years ahead, you know, when you finish school, maybe go to university, maybe get married, maybe have children, maybe grow old, what do you think of? Is it all scary and horrible? Or is it something that you look forward to and say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? That's what I expect. That's what I know lies in my future. That's an earthly hope. But it's a hope that's guaranteed when the Lord is your shepherd. That's what David is saying in this psalm. When the Lord is my shepherd, this is what I can expect. This is what I look forward to. This is my hope. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that's what he said. What we can say is, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. How do you look at the future? This is about this life. The Lord has said, I will not leave you or forsake you. So are you anxious? Are you worried? The Lord says, you don't need to be. I will never leave you or forsake you. So I have confidence, a confident expectation that he will provide. The Lord is my helper. It doesn't mean I don't work. It doesn't mean I can be lazy and sit back and do nothing. But it does mean that the Lord is my shepherd. He is with me. He will lead me. I don't need to be anxious. This is my hope. Is this important? Should this fill the life of a Christian? It should. It can. That's the wonderful thing. An earthly hope. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He rejected all of that, turned his back on all of that, Instead, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day. He thinks about what the scripture has said. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. He thinks about it. And what does it say? He's like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And its leaf doesn't wither, doesn't dry up. And everything that he does, in all that he does, he prospers. That's a hope. So who is this man? The man who doesn't walk in these things. Simply, this is a godly man, person, a godly person, a person who has turned their back on the world and instead is believing the scripture and taking it seriously and living for the Lord. And do they have anything to look forward to? Yes, their life is going to be like a tree planted by a stream. It will be healthy. It'll grow. It'll bear its fruit. And if there's a drought, it won't matter because its roots go deep and the stream of water is there. All that he does shall prosper. What a promise. This is a hope, an earthly hope for those who choose to live for the Lord. But what about our heavenly hope? The Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house of many rooms, there's plenty of space. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This was what the Lord spoke at the time that he introduced to them the breaking of bread. This was in the upper room that the Lord said these things. And this is the essence and the main thing and the greatest thing in our heavenly hope. What is it? Where I am, there you shall be also. And when we break bread till he comes. When we look at the bread on the table and the cup, we can't see Jesus, we can only see the bread and the cup. And we're reminded that he's not here, but we're also reminded of his promise that he's coming. I will come again. This is our hope. And receive you to myself, and we shall be with him. You know, people talk about when I die, I'm going to see my friends. Huh? Why does that matter? I'm going to see him. I'm going to be face to face with Christ. That's the bright shining sun. And everything else will be like little candles next to that. The joy and the privilege of looking into the face of Jesus himself. That's the hope that's set before us. But what does that mean? Well, you know, at the end of Revelation, and we read this recently, the dwelling place of God, God comes down to the new creation and dwells with men, dwells with people. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. What does that mean? It means every tear is wiped away. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. All of that is gone. And what would you write across this time? You'd say, joy, joy, joy. That's what lies ahead. That's the hope that we look forward to. Again, third one. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and seated us with him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What do you look forward to? And at the eternal ages in which God shows his kindness towards you. God's kindness. The immeasurable riches of his grace will be seen in that kindness throughout all the ages. People say, what are we going to do in eternity? The answer is, we don't know. But what we do know is that he's going to show his kindness to us throughout all the ages. And that is something to look forward to. So, what is hope? When the Bible speaks faith, hope, love, what is the hope? Hope is this confident expectation of something that's still in the future, whether it's in this life or in the age to come. So the question that we have to ask is, what's your hope? What are you looking forward to? Something or nothing? What's your hope? What's your hope? What do you expect in this life? Do you expect to know the shepherding care of the Lord? Do you look to the future and say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Is that your story? That's hope, grounded in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of Christ. What do you expect in the age to come? If you were to die now, can you imagine? Can you imagine dying? I think about it a lot, but you probably, those who are young probably don't think about it as much. But we all know young people also die. If you were diagnosed with cancer and were told you had 6 months, what would you look forward to? Would you say, that's okay? Do you have a confident expectation that even if I died young, it makes no difference? Because the grace of God is there. Salvation is real. I'm looking forward with expectation, confident that he will receive me. May the God of hope, he wants you to have this hope, fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, you may abound in hope. Not just have a little bit, but lots of hope. So, faith, hope, and love, these three in the life of every Christian. What a wonderful life this is, to be able to live with confidence, not in myself, but in Christ. Hope, something to look forward to that's rock solid and sure. And to be transformed by love. This is wonderful. This is the grace of God. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us to get our minds around this stuff and also to lay hold of it and to realize that this is what you want in our life, something wonderful, something extraordinary. Something that's not normal, that's much, much, much better. Lord, do your work amongst us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.